Good afternoon, everybody. We'll call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is Wednesday at 1:32, Wednesday, the February 26th. We have Senator Hughes, Senator Machicki, Senator Keel, myself, Senator Coghill here. Last meeting, we had a motion before us, which still stands, the motion to move the Senate Bill number 55, Judiciary, from committee. It's the CS that we adopted. And the question before us was to move the bill from committee, but before we took action on the vote, the other question was, does this go to the Finance Committee? In talking with the presiding officer, that is the intention. When it gets, the report gets to her desk, that it would then be referred to the Finance Committee because it picked up a additional fiscal impact. So with that, I think the Secretary, do we have a member coming in? Before we call the question, yes, you may make a comment.
Yes, I just appreciate that, Mr. Chair, for checking as far as whether it moved to finance, because I don't have a problem with the addition of the judge, because I do feel like it will speed up the process, and that's good for victims. My concern was that it was a pretty high fiscal note compared to what we saw previously. And I would hope the Finance Committee maybe would consider whether there could be some shared staffing maybe that might trim that back enough. But if it's determined they need the full staffing, I think that's something they should consider. So with that, I plan to support moving the bill out.
We did have an objection, and I think the objection is on the record, if I remember correctly. And I guess that would be the question. Is the objection maintained? And I know you want to vote,
Mr. Chairman. I think the person who objected is not here.
Right.
I'm certainly going to support moving the bill, but I think process-wise is probably the appropriate way to go.
All right. Well, we can call the question, we'll have an objection noted from Senator Machicki just for the process. Is that fair, or do you want to vote with individual recommendations?
I think there's an objection on the books, in this committee that's existing right now from another member.
Well, let's just do a roll call vote. Yes.
Should we have an at ease?
We'll have an at ease, yes. The question has come up on whether the objecting person is here, and it is true the objecting person is not here, but I think for clarity, we'll just do a roll call vote on the on this particular bill. So could we have the Secretary call the roll, please?
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Reinbold. Chair Coghill.
Yes. So with that, we'll move the CS for Senate Bill 55, Judiciary, from committee, and with individual recommendations, by the way. And so let's take a brief at ease while we sign that packet before we go to the next bill. Thank you. Okay, we'll bring the Senate Judiciary Committee back together to order. Thank you, Sean Ayers, for running off and getting our official documents. We're going to have Amy Bushnell come and present the Senate Bill 191. I can give you kind of a top level on it, and then she will go through a sponsor statement. We have Nancy Hemingway helping us navigate through our motions, and Doug Bridges on the committee. Today, we're going to bring up the Senate Bill 191, which is our version A, which is an act relating to trusts and trustees, including trust divisions, the power of trustees, delayed gifts to trust, community property trust, and providing for an effective date. And Amy, if you wouldn't mind coming on up here. And what I'd like for her to do She has now become, and I've sponsored the bill, but I'm doing it at request. But this is probably, I can't remember how many times I've done this, but this is several times before this. I've dealt with a trust bill, trust issues in Alaska, trying to do three things. We're trying to attract people who do trust to Alaska so they'll bring money to Alaska. That's one. The other thing we're trying to do is make sure that we have a competitive edge in the world of trusts in America, which is we're trying to bring money from offshore to onshore and have it treated well. But primarily, my focus is how do we do it well while we do the best things for Alaskans to have not only cash in the banks so that we can borrow money, but those who have trust that the beneficiaries are well taken care of. And so as the trust world is a dynamic world, as I have found out, it's competitive. And in that vein, it deals with everything from a trust that is a living trust, those that deal with estates in large number. And now I'm going to go beyond my knowledge. So I got to be stopped there. Having said that, what we have before us is one of three bills that I have at least drafted at this point. 191 to 192 are the first of those two versions. 192, I'm still working on some of the language, but 191 I think is pretty well put together. And what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is have Amy bring the sponsor statement and maybe answer some questions. Before we get to her, though, I have several trust people here and online. Beth Chapman is here in the room. She's an attorney in this particular arena. We have Kevin Walsh, who's in Fairbanks. I have Rich Homsech, which is in Fairbanks. Linda Hulbert in Fairbanks. I've got Jamie Damon, who's at Schaftel and Delman in Anchorage. Dave Schaftel, who's a private attorney. Matthew Blotmarker, who's Peak Trust Company, and Abigail O'Connor, all also in Anchorage. So all will be here. As you can tell, you have more brain power on trust than most of us really understand. And so with that, what I'll do is I'll have Amy go through the sponsor statement, if you don't mind, and then we'll go into testimony on this bill. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Please put yourself on the record.
Hello, Senate Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Amy Bushnell, staff to Senator Cockhill. So SB 191 is an act relating to trusts and trustees, including trust division, the powers of trustees, delayed gifts to trust, and community property trust, providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 191 sets out to clarify existing language within Alaska statutes regarding trust legislation and add a new opportunity to investors to take advantage of historically high estate and gift tax exemptions. Alaska is one of the top states for trusts and a longtime leader in adopting laws to improve investing opportunities and estate planning. SB 191 gives Alaska the opportunity to continue to draw in more investors and keep those who are invested in Alaskan trust to remain here. Estate management can be defined as an art of directing and supervising one's interest in land, property, or other securities in order to achieve optimum returns. In law, a trust is a relationship where assets or property are held by one party, the trustee, for the benefit of another party. A trust is created by the owner, also called a settlor or trustor, who transfers property to a trustee. The trustee holds that property for the trust beneficiaries. This bill offers clarification on four things regarding trusts and trustees in the state of Alaska. First, it clarifies existing powers a trustee already has, placing the ability to divide trusts into statute. Second, the bill clarifies two powers the trustees may act upon, including the ability to purchase fiduciary insurance and allow discretionary distribution to be made from realized capital gains. Third, it gives the ability to charge costs incurred from the duties on that list listed in statute to the trust. The fourth and final clarification this bill also offers is in relation to community property and trusts. The primary purpose of Alaska's optimal community property system is to obtain an income tax benefit on property when the first spouse dies. To accomplish this purpose, appreciation and income must be characterized as community property. Currently, appreciation and income made from a community property trust must be specifically claimed as community property. The proposed changes, have the income made from the community property be automatically community property unless expressly stated otherwise, allowing for easier management of the assets in the trust. The gift promise section of the bill is a new concept. This new language would provide that a promise to make a gift to a trust is enforceable under Alaska law and may be treated as a note or negotiable instrument after 180 days. The promise need not be backed by consideration, which is a transfer of property or cash, so long as the promise is to a qualifying Alaska trust, in writing, references the specific statute, the person expresses intent to be legally bound, and the money will be transferred within 9 months after the person's death. This additional section will allow taxpayers throughout the United States to use their current estate and gift tax exemptions, which are at historic highs, without having to give up the ownership of property until later when the promise is fulfilled.
That's why it's dense. That's why it's a very complex matter. But I thought she did very good at putting this sponsor statement together. It shows the four things that we want to do plus a new concept and gives you a little background onto trust. So do I dare have her ask questions, answer questions, or do you want to go right to testimony on this one? Because I think as we hear testimony, those kind of questions will come up.
Whichever we like.
All right. Let's just go ahead and get testimony. I'm going to try and keep this as tight as we can, mainly because I think the bill has been pretty well outlined. Then it's a matter of how does it work in the actual language. And I think we need to take a look at that. And if there are questions on how it was drafted, we need to get that from those who work in this area of law. And so we invited Beth Chapman to come. Do you want to be the first in line? Does it matter? Okay. We have folks online. I suppose what I should ask is there anybody that has a time problem that needs to jump in line first? Do I hear anybody online from either Fairbanks or Anchorage? All right. With that, then, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to one who I know gets to deal with it from a financial aspect, and that is Linda Hulbert, who has encouraged me in this particular arena. Linda, are you there and available to speak to this particular bill, Senate Bill 191?
John, can you, Senator Coghill, can you hear me?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent, thank you very much. Well, I appreciate the time today. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Let me introduce myself. My name is Linda Hulbert. I've been an Alaska resident for 50 years. I've been a life insurance agent with New York Life for 30 years, and I'm a member of the Alaska Trust and Estate Professionals Group, and this group is the group that has put this bill together. I represent clients from both Anchorage and Fairbanks. I have an office in Anchorage, and I spend almost half my time there, and I live in Fairbanks, and I spend half my time here, and I have been doing that for 30 years. So I'd like to speak to the value of the Alaska Trust, what it's accomplished within the state, and what it has yet or can accomplish in the future. The whole Alaska Trust concept, as it's been very adequately described, has created jobs in Alaska, has brought substantial assets into Alaska, has brought a lot of tax income into Alaska, and has been a very positive influence in the state, and put Alaska really in the forefront of will and trust and estate planning. However, as other states have seen Alaska's success, they indeed have followed in some of the activities that we've done and some of the laws that we've followed. And so these laws and additions represent some opportunities for us to once again be in the forefront of planning throughout the country. So what I would say is that this is really important for my clients. This is important for Alaskans. It allows them to do the planning. It allows them to continue their businesses. It allows them to pass along assets that are deeply rooted in the family to their children and grandchildren. So I would like to support the bill, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. One of the things I did fail to do was to have us walk through the section of the bill, and but I jumped the gun, but I did want Linda to be able to give us kind of the broader picture. And probably before I get to the other people testifying, if my apologies to those online who have got now queued up and ready to go, we probably should take a walk through the sectional so that Amy can show us each section of the five things that this bill does. So, Amy, my apologies. I'm learning how to be a chairman. I'll get there. Please walk us through the sectional.
Again, for the record, this is Amy, staff to Senator Coghill. So in Section 1 of SB 191, it deals with Alaska Statute 1336, and it adds a new section that changes the default of trust to allow for easier trust division, providing that if more than one settler created the trust, the contributions from each settler are well documented, as are the earnings and reinvestments, and the trust is governed by Alaska state law. And that's outlined elsewhere in the statute. Section 2 deals with Alaska Statute 1336-109. It clarifies the specific powers of trustees, those responsible for the trust fund, to include insurance against liability with respect to the beneficiaries as an expressly allowed expense to the trust. This section also clarifies that a trustee may treat or deem, within the meaning of the United States Treasury regulation, discretionary distributions as first coming from capital gains realized during that year. Section 3, the Alaska Statute 1336-109 again. It adds a new subsection allowing a trustee to pay for the authorized actions mentioned earlier in the section with funds from the trust itself. Section 4, Alaska Statute 1336-305, adds a section outlining the ability to make a promise of a gift enforceable in relation to trusts. The promise must be to a qualifying trust, in writing, reference this statute, express intent to be legally bound. The money will be transferred within 9 months after the person's death, and after 180 days of the promise, it may be treated as a note or negotiable instrument. This section also outlines where a qualifying trust is, that it intends to be a trust governed by Alaska law. It contains at least $10,000 of principal assets deposited within the state of Alaska and has at least one trustee in the state. Section 5, Alaska Statute 347730, clarifies the original intent of existing statute regarding community property, stating that unless expressly declared non-community property, individual or otherwise, appreciation and income accrued in the community property trust is assumed to be community property. Section 6 is the uncodified law. Adds a new section to the uncodified law stating that sections 1 through 4 become effective following the normal effective date procedure as outlined in Alaska Statute 1070. Section 7 adds a new section to the uncodified law, a saving clause, stating that Section 5, which is the community property section, does not affect actions, proceedings, or rights accrued on or after May 23, 1998, the year the Alaska Community Property Act was created and placed into law. Section 8. Section 5 deals with community property is retroactive to that date, May 23rd, 1998, the year that it was placed into law. Section 9 is that Sections 5 and 8 of this Act take effect immediately.
Thank you. And I, for what it's worth, one of the things I look at is when we have a new section of law, I try to find out how it fits in, and then there was some modified language. Amy, you probably asked the question, the applicability goes back to 1998, and can you give us just a top-level view of that, and if you can't, then we'll get to those who can give us a legal description of that.
Do you mean why it goes back to 19? It's just to clarify that since community property was created in the state of Alaska, that from that point it'll follow these rules as well, is that all of the income and appreciation will be community property, so that there won't be some trusts in the middle somewhere where they'd have to figure out what is this. It's no, as soon as we made community property, we'll just pretend that we always treated it the same way.
Right. And it does, it's prospective action, because those actions that have already been taken have come and gone. So I think it's just that if you've created a trust back then and you haven't taken that action, that from here on you can take that action. But if you've taken action previously and it was considered differently, it would stand that way, basically. So that was my first top question. Any other questions on just the structure, or do you want to go ahead and go to public testimony now that you have the structure before you?
We can do questions after.
I have a couple of questions, but they may be answered by the testimony, so I'm...
Yeah, I appreciate that. And let's go ahead and we'll start. We have several people who dialed in fairly early. Abigail O'Connor in Anchorage was one of the first ones to dial in. So, Abigail O'Connor, can you hear us, and are you willing to give testimony at this point, or able to?
Senator Coghill, yes, this is Abigail O'Connor. Can you hear me?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you to the Senate Judiciary Committee for allowing me to speak. My name is Abigail O'Connor. I am a trust and estates attorney in Anchorage. I own O'Connor Law, LLC. I'm also a member of the Alaska Trusts and Estates Professionals Group, as Linda Holbert mentioned earlier. And I'm very pleased to support this bill for a number of reasons. I think every time you represent a new trustee or you draft a new trust or you get into the administration, you're always wishing that there were more clarifications in the law for certain things. And it's very difficult to think of everything that's ever going to happen. You can't do that. So what I like about this bill is it allows things that we wish were in here, just clarifies things, which will be very helpful. In the Section 1, dividing assets into separate trusts, I have the situation right now where I had a trust with two different people contributing assets to the trust, very easy to trace. But a bill like this would just make it so much simpler to divide the trust and just have it right there in the statute that I can point to and say this is easy in the situation I'm in. It would be very helpful to the beneficiaries to be able to divide the trust. So that's an example, or this is really helpful for beneficiaries. Because in some settings, you have different tax attributes, and you want to be able to divide the trust so that one trust has one tax attribute, another trust has another tax attribute, and looking at it as a whole, you have overall you can save taxes for the beneficiaries. So that's why I like Section 1. Section 2, allowing in just clarifying that trustees can basically get insurance, can get trustee insurance, similar to a personal representative of an estate being able to get a bond. It's a similar concept. It allows the trustees to basically better protect themselves and also the beneficiaries by being able to have insurance in case there are claims brought by the beneficiaries. And you can attract better trustees by doing this. The next clarification, which is also in Section 2 towards the end, where we're saying the trustee can treat discretionary distributions to a beneficiary as being made first from capital gains. This is helpful because the word consider was a little too passive in order to capture what we needed to achieve from a tax perspective, and the word treat is just a more active word, and this is where the difference of a word can really help. And again, this allows a trustee to make tax decisions that will ultimately or could ultimately reduce income taxes, which can help the beneficiaries. They can do it now. It's just the treat versus consider is more active and I think more accurately captures what the Treasury regulations have in mind. So that's very helpful. The last, though, Section 4, this idea of a gift trust is a really great idea. Right now, we have an unprecedented estate tax exemption for all individuals in the U.S., and as of right now, that exemption is going to be divided by half in 2026. So it's a limited period of time where we have this huge estate tax exemption, and clients are trying to think of how they can take advantage of this, but not necessarily disadvantage other parts of their estate plan and themselves at the same time. So this promise to transfer money into a trust is a really great concept. What we did is we put enough safeguards in here because we did not want this to turn into something where somebody inadvertently made a promise to make a gift. And so we put the safeguards in here specifically requiring that it be in writing and signed and delivered to the trustee. We want to make sure that whoever is making this type of promise knows exactly what they're doing and they understand the implications of the statute, therefore they have to reference the statute. So we know that they're intending to trigger this concept, and they have to say that they intend to be bound, legally bound by the promise. And there's some other safeguards in there as well, but the safeguards are in there specifically to avoid somebody from inadvertently making a promise to transfer money that ordinarily they would not be held to do. So I think this is a good balance of providing opportunities for Alaskans and for non-Alaskans to use Alaska trusts, which brings money into the state, while at the same time protecting people from mistakenly doing something that they can't undo under the statute. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Abigail, thank you very much. Senator Machicki does have a question.
So thank you, Abigail. In Section 2, when you talk about insurance, so right now investment and trust management fees are allowed, but insurance is not. So is it limited to insurance against claims dropped by beneficiaries, or is there other?
No, right now the trustee can get insurance. Most trustees that I know don't get insurance, but occasionally they want to. And I mean, there's as you can see, this is an addition. I don't think there's no express prohibition in the statute. I think this clarifies and allows trustees to be able to get insurance in case a beneficiary does bring an action against them, and use the trust funds to pay for that. And this is, again, same situation where we have with estates and probate, where a personal representative often is required to get a bond in case they run into trouble. And so this is, in my view, an analogous concept.
Senator Machicki, to continue.
I'm not sure I finished my question, but if you had a real asset in the trust, would this change allow you to insure that real asset at the expense of the trust itself?
I apologize, Senator. Currently trustees can insure the assets in a trust.
Okay.
That's permitted. This is simply allowing them to also insure against a breach of trust action by a beneficiary.
Thank you. And I have one more question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Machicki, please continue.
How often are the contributions by individuals in Section 1 well-documented that splits it out by earnings and reinvestments? Is that normally sort of a clear path?
Senator, that's a good question. And I can't answer that there is a normal. It greatly depends on the grantors, the settlers creating the trust, the trustee records. I've seen more often than not there is a fairly clear path, but I can't say that that's normal. I've seen several instances where there is no clear notion as to where the assets, how the assets got into the trust, in which case, you know, this division would not be available.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Keel, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Ms. O'Connor, since she's an attorney. I know that a trustee can be anyone, but I'm sort of trying to get my head around the liability insurance piece. When an attorney is a trustee, does your professional liability insurance, would that arguably cover suits by beneficiaries of a trust where you're the trustee?
Senator, yes, my personal life, my malpractice insurance does cover me serving as a trustee. I don't know if all malpractice insurance covers it, but mine does.
Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. That's very helpful. And I'm kind of trying to think through the implications of that for those already acting as trustees who may charge some fee for their professional services. Is the bill necessary because you perceive a prohibition on trustees charging the trust for malpractice insurance?
Senator, I do not see a prohibition. However, I think the clarification makes it express that you definitely can do this, so that if a beneficiary, as they're looking through the accounting, sees a line item for insurance, then it's clear that it's permissible under the statute.
Thank you.
For me, before we go on to other public testimony, in Section 4, we are starting the new section on the promise to transfer. And you said you had several good safeguards in there. I get that. What would be a normal exit strategy from this? Let's just say they wanted to change that particular promise. How would that be treated?
Senator, if I could ask, I'm trying to think of this. Is a great question. I don't know that there really is an exit strategy. Part of why you would not want one is because in order to use your exemption, the promise needs to be irrevocable.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
That's kind of what I wanted to get on the record. I think this is something that needs to be expressed when people go into that it's a one-way street, basically, or it's a one-way valve, basically. Senator Machicki had a question on that.
So, I don't need it answered right now, but that is one of the concerns I have, and I often say concerns. Doesn't mean I'm going to lose any sleep over it, but I'd like to understand it. I see this Section 4 as federal tax law sort of colliding with Alaska trust law, because you may have an asset that you promise that may dramatically lose value because of market corrections or some sort of real property issue that occurs where it no longer has that promised value, yet you've already used that promised value in your federal tax, a reduction of federal taxes. So what happens if that $5 million promise goes through a severe market correction, you've already taken credit for it with your federal taxes, and now it's worth $60,000 or something? I mean, I if it's irrevocable, the loss of value may not be controllable, which how would you deal with that in such a situation? And Ms. O'Connor, you may or may not have the answer. I actually just thought I'd drop that out there for you and the other testifiers. I'm sure you've thought about it, but it seems like it's a very real potential problem.
Abigail?
Senator, thank you. And that's an excellent question. I think we envision this being money and not necessarily a specific asset. And so the language says if a person promises to transfer a specific amount of money. And I will defer to my colleagues who are on the phone to get their thoughts on it. But I think that's how we envision this is money and not necessarily an asset.
All right. Well, you had the fortunate first in line question. So Amy had something that she wanted to add in on this. Amy?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, if I may. It is in the form of a contract that they write a promise and then we'll give it to a trust. The trust will have to accept it. So if the trust sees it as a business and they can discern that that asset might not be worth its same amount two, 5, or 10 years down the line when they could expect to bring it into the trust, they wouldn't want to take the promissory note. They wouldn't see it as beneficial to them.
That's a point to bring up. Senator Machicki?
So the fact that this consideration is largely directed at money concerns me equally, if not more so.
Well, let's go ahead and get some of the other folks. Since the question is coming up, we do have several other folks here. So one that has been pretty interested in this that I've worked with very well is Dave Schaftel. He's a private attorney in Anchorage. So, Dave, are you able to come online and give us your testimony?
Well, thank you, Senator Coghill and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. My name is Dave Schaftel. I'm an attorney here in Anchorage. I've been practicing law for over 30-plus years in the area of trust and estates and the tax laws that relate to this area. I'm in favor of Senate Bill 191. I've reviewed the provisions. I haven't participated in the drafting of all of the provisions. My area has been primarily the community property provision that is Section 5. I have reviewed the other provisions, but I would defer to Jamie Dillman in our office with respect to the promise to transfer money to the trust. I think he plans to testify. I think also, I don't know if Jonathan Blockmacher is online, but he's an expert in with that specific subject as well. But I'd be happy to respond to questions relating to Section 5 in the community property area, if you have any. Otherwise, I just want to indicate my support for the bill.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. If questions come up, can you hang on for just a little bit as we go through some of our testimony?
Certainly. Thank you, Senator.
All right. We do have Jonathan Blockmacher online. He is in Long Island, so he's listening in. But we also have Matthew Blockmacher, who's in Anchorage. Jonathan, since you're far away and you're listening to some of these questions, do you have any input on this bill? Give us your testimony.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. It's an honor for me to address you. This is, I think, a very good bill, continues to put Alaska on top and will continue to bring business and money into the state. Every time someone creates an Alaska trust, they're required to deposit certain money in the state. And at any given time, there's between $50 and $100 million, which financial institutions in Alaska have, which they can use to make loans to Alaskan, to help people with businesses. It's a very good thing. The concept of this Alaska Gift Trust is a new one, which we came up with. As Abby said, individuals have a very, very high exemption right now, but not everybody can afford to give away $11 million or even a fraction of that, which is the current exemptions. Yes, they like to do that because we know in 2026 it's going to be cut back, and it's possible with a change of administration in Washington it could be cut back even before then. This allows someone to basically make a completed gift for federal gift tax purposes and yet retain the assets in his or her name. And when they die, they'll be required to pay it, but that asset will be basically out of the estate because the gift was completed back when the exemption was, as it is today, over $11 million. Alaska would be the first state to have that kind of legislation. I think it will bring business to the state. And I think it also continues to show that Alaska is a very sophisticated financial jurisdiction in the country.
Thank you, Jonathan. That helps us understand that particular segment. I have a question from Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess as I think this through, are there safeguards to prevent someone, let's assume hypothetically that a person exists who doesn't have great ethics. I haven't met them yet, but maybe. Are there safeguards to prevent someone from building a little bit of a house of cards here, someone taking the tax benefits now who doesn't necessarily have the cash? As I look through the bill, I don't think I see the requirement that the money subject to the promise exist.
This is Jonathan again. That's a great question. And I think there is a safeguard insofar as if you have someone who has, for example, $3 million, and he wants to use not just $3 million of the current $11 million exemption, but the entire $11 million, because that person is hoping that by the time they die, they would have $11 million, and they would be able to do that. Now, the note will be due when they die. It can be paid before, but when they die, the trustee will come to the estate of the person who made the promise and said, okay, I have a note for $11 million. Pay me. That note will be out of the estate. And the payment of the note basically avoids the tax. If they only have still $3 million or $2 or $5, that's the most that can be paid into the trust at that time. But there won't be any adverse effect. And they've now had the opportunity not just to cover what they have now, but possibly cover what they'll gain in the future, and that could be up under current law to $11.5 million. I hope I answered your question. If I haven't, please help me understand it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right there only for a second, because I do have one person who's told me that they have a time constraint and they do want to testify. And so, since they're a Fairbanks guy, I want to make room for the Fairbanks guys. Excellent. Kevin Walsh has indicated that he has a time constraint. So, Kevin, go ahead and put yourself on the record, and we'll go ahead and have your testimony at this point.
Senator, thank you very much for allowing me to bump ahead in line. I appreciate it. And my name is Kevin Walsh. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I'm a certified public accountant, one of the owners of Walsh Keller & Sharp CPA firm here in Fairbanks. I'm a longtime member and past president of Fairbanks Estate Planning Council, and have been involved in tax matters my entire career. I'm also a member of the Alaska Trust and Estate Professionals Group. I'm here to strongly support Senate Bill 191 and 192. At our firm, we regularly deal with trust and estate matters for our clients all over Alaska, and the income, gift, and estate taxes of the United States apply federal tax rules to properties defined and governed by state law. So improvements to Alaska law governing trusts and estates can only improve the efficiency with which these trusts operate. And when there's clarity of law, we reduce controversy and save money, including saving accounting fees and legal fees and trustee fees, because there's more clarity as to what the rules are and how to follow them. Ben Franklin supposedly said the two certainties in life are death and taxes. Nothing in this legislation will do anything to reduce the certainty of death, but it can help reduce the certainty of the amount of taxes one might pay by allowing Alaska law to be the most efficient possible and allow Alaskan citizens to take full advantage of any opportunities they can to reduce their federal tax burdens. In the interest of time, I'm Irish, so I could go on in terms of speaking length, but I'm cutting it short. I really appreciate the opportunity to testify. Thank you very much for your time.
Kevin, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to any other comments along the way. We are not going to move this bill out today. This is our first hearing on it, and it's our way to dig into the language of the bill. I am going to go back up to Jamie Delman from Shaftel and Delman. Jamie, you heard some of the questions that were kind of parlayed over to you, did you hear the question, and are you online to give us your testimony?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Chairman Cockle and members of the Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Jamie Delman, and I'm an attorney in Anchorage, and I was involved in drafting many of the provisions of in our proposal for Senate Bill 191. I wanted to address the questions that were raised about, and I'm in support of Senate Bill 191, and I wanted to specifically address some of the questions that were raised regarding the Section 4 of the bill, as Jonathan referred to it, as the Alaska Gift Trust Provision. the one of the questions that came up was what happens if a promise is made to give money and the expected property that the person who made the promise, that basically the estate of the person who made the promise contracts during the term, you know, before actually paying on the promise. The concern is what happens, if I understand it correctly, if there is such a contraction in value. If today a client makes a promise to make a $2 million gift to an Alaska trust, and because that client has assets, let's say, but doesn't necessarily know which assets they want to convert to money right now at the time they're making the gift, but that client wants to take advantage of the high exemption amount right now, and that client makes that promise to pay, well, if their estate during the course of the next couple of years or over the next 20 years, let's say, contracts substantially in value, well, they've used this exemption amount, which is currently at $11.4 million, but will contract, is scheduled to contract to approximately $6 million in 2026. They've used that exemption amount, but they don't need it anymore if their value, the estate value, really has contracted. So, it, as Jonathan was referring to, there's no real harm in the contraction.
Senator Machicki, do you get that?
I understand that particular case, but it still doesn't clarify me other, and I can list other examples. I think what I'm going to do, Mr. Chairman, is just pen my questions and get them to you to distribute them.
That'll work. Yeah.
I know of no other situation where someone can enjoy a federal tax exemption with dollars that potentially don't exist, it may never exist, or may have once existed without there being some sort of penalty. So I could be wrong on that, but I'll put my questions together, and I don't want to take a lot of committee time doing that today. But
it is a new concept, mm-hmm. and it would be nice for us to get that. And so if Jamie and Jonathan and those who want to communicate to my office, some of the questions that have arisen out of this, you can get them to Amy in my office, and we'll make sure that they're distributed. But I will try to formulate that question, get it to you, and then back to the committee. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I will do the same as Senator Machicki. I have a sort of technical, much more technical question about Section 4. I don't know if Mr. Delman is the person to pose it to.
Well, we can start there since Jamie's online, and so we'll start there and then see. I do have a couple other people who have not had a chance to chime in yet, but go ahead and ask your question, and I'll probably go to the rest of the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the question has to do with sub C, the 180 days after which the promise is a note, is a negotiable instrument. And I guess the first question that pops to mind is what happens if someone passes away before the 180 days is run and before the gift is perfected, before the gift is put into the trust?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, if someone were to pass away during that, you know, let's say at day 90, the trust still would have an enforceable obligation against the estate of that person who died.
Just to follow up, what then is the benefit to the trust at day 181 that they don't have when they have the enforceable obligation at day 90?
The idea is that at day 181, now we have entered in by citing section, by citing Chapter 45, we have given trustees guidance as to what they can do with this asset now that is on their balance sheet, because it is this obligation it's being created by this new statute, statutory provision, and this obligation, what that chapter does is it by citing that chapter, the new provision gives instructions as to how that property can be transferred, sold, negotiated.
I'll have some follow-up with your office, yep. Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
I think probably what I need is a white paper on this particular new section on how it is intended to work, both time-wise and asset-wise. So what I'll do, Jamie, at this point is I've got a couple more people that I wanted to get online. I've got Rich Humseth in Fairbanks. And Rich, since you have joined us, I want you to have time to chime in on this particular bill. And you can see it, the new concept is raising probably more questions. Rich, are you there?
Yes, Senator Coghill. For the record, my name is Rich Hompish. I'm an sole practitioner attorney in Fairbanks for the last 35 years, and I'm here to express my support for Senate Bill 191. I believe the answer to Senator McKinney's question about the diminution in the value from the date the gift is made to the trust until death, as I understand, the purpose of Section 4 or the Alaska Gift Trust is so that the individual can use his or her federal state tax exemption of currently $11,580,000 or so before the window closes and that exemption is reduced on December 31st, 2025. And if their estate value is reduced in the meantime, they don't have an estate tax problem. And so it doesn't matter. The idea is to address the situation of the estate that grows beyond the exemption. So use the exemption while you can before it's reduced under federal law. And other than that, what I wanted to just emphasize that I agree with the testimony from the other persons who testified today.
Thank you
very much, Senator.
It still raises a question. So at this point, Senator Michiki, probably if you could jot that question down again. And I think we need to get a little better. Maybe there's a primer on the tax requirements as well as this. So Matthew Blotmacher is in Anchorage, and he's also in line to testify. Mr. Blotmacher, put yourself on the line and see if you bring your testimony for us, please.
Thank you, Chairman and members of Senate Judiciary. My name is Matthew Blotmacher. I'm with Peak Trust Company in Anchorage and also a member of the Alaska Trust and Estate Professionals Group. Would just like to express my support of Senate Bill 191 and thank you for your time in hearing this legislation. The Alaska legislatures had a legacy of reviewing these types of bills going back about 24 years now, and this current bill before you looks to add clarification to Alaska law, add, of course, the gift trust concept, which would be new under any state law, and would improve planning options for Alaskans. Happy to answer any questions you might have, and again, have support for Senate Bill 191.
So, Matthew, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the questions from two of my members here, and I need to frame the tax question around a potential of capturing this tax exemption prospectively with an asset that may or may not be what the exemption is calling for. And so I'll try to get that in writing, and I'll get it to Amy, and she can kind of blast it out to the people that we have been talking with and maybe see if we can get a body of information on this. I'm going to thank you, Matt. I have a question from Senator Keel at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to pitch Mr. Blattmacher a softball. since he's with the association, the professional group, and if you don't have it on the top of your brain, certainly happy to take follow-up later, but can you quantify the size of the industry in Alaska, the trusts? How many jobs are we talking about? You know, there was, I think, a 50% range on how much trust assets are resident in the state from somebody else. Are there numbers about the rate of growth and the employment and all the cool stuff we're hoping to achieve?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, sure, there are a couple of different ways to quantify the trust industry in Alaska. There's the number of trusts, there's the assets that are in the banks, there's, you know, number of people employed by the industry. A couple of years ago, in a bill, I cannot recall the exact number, dealt specifically with life insurance premium tax, we did some fairly detailed due diligence and estimated that there were about 350 jobs in Alaska that were directly related to this industry. Now, that doesn't take into account those indirectly related, such as, you know, attorneys or CPAs who might not focus on this type of planning but deal with it to some extent. There, as far as assets in the banks in Alaska, I can talk to you about what Peak Trust Company sees, but know that there's a much broader scope than just what we see. For example, First National Bank of Alaska has their own trust company, and they see deposits completely outside of what Peak Trust Company might see. As far as Peak Trust Company goes, we have on static deposit well over $100 million with Alaskan banking institutions. Again, that's just our scope. And we have about 2,500 trusts that our company deals with, but that doesn't include those that First National Bank might deal with or other trust companies in Alaska or trusts that are created where individuals are the trustee, such as Alaskan residents, and they don't use a professional corporate trustee like Alaska Trust Company or Peak Trust Company, excuse me. Secondarily, through trusts, there are some vehicles that pay a direct tax to the state, such as life insurance policies. And again, a couple of years ago when we ran numbers, it was about $7 million a year that came directly into the state from those policies. And actually at the time, it was the second largest contributor to the general fund. So there's a couple different ways to quantify it. As far as growth numbers, I'd have to do some more digging on that for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good rundown. And yes, probably before we get this across the finish line, that'll be some other questions. Senator Machicki?
Yeah, I want to make it clear that I support improving our trust policies. I think it's important. I recognize the value to the state. I know that when we think about corporate tax, the policies in Delaware and Nevada are the reason why almost every major corporation is in Delaware or Nevada, right? It would be nice to have those kinds of policies here as well. I just want to know that you've thought through the issues of the gifting. And I'll just give you another example because people keep focusing on one or another. But another is that if the person promising a gift, if that promise conflicts with the total available funds to satisfy an amount that's promised in a will, because you're not going to be making that consideration now. That could change later on in a person's life. They may also have more liabilities remaining at the time of death for that person's estate than what they promised the trust amount. I don't know what order they would be satisfied or what the priority would be given. So would it make that promise possible? It sounds like there's possibly other things in the way. Maybe you've thought through that, and I'd like to understand that we have and that
probably the
priority
way,
is understood.
The way to frame that would be, within this new concept, how would it how would other conflicts arise from general trust management? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go first of all, thank everybody for spending the time. you have to educate us as well as put things into law that we think that are good. One of the purposes that I have is how to make Alaska, keep Alaska attractive, make sure that our beneficiaries are treated well, and make sure that we're not scamming them, you know. But it's also how to run a good business that is clear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been made very clear that that is the purpose of this particular bill. And because most of us don't know this world, we're suspicious. And it's right for us to be suspicious and ask those questions as long as we're satisfied that we're doing the best thing we can for Alaska. Beth, do you want to come forward and give some testimony, or were you just here for questions? All right. So what I'm going to do is, at this point, I'm going to set the bill aside. We have just a handful of questions that we'll ask. One last question that I will put in is in Section 2, and that is changing out some of the discretionary movement of splitting the trust. The word first on page 5, line 10, is to to treat the discretionary distributions to a beneficiary as being made first from capital. I just need to understand how that has happened before and why first is there. So probably Amy, my staff, already knows this, but I'm just asking, as I was running through the bill this morning, that came to mind on asking why. We don't have to answer it right now, but we will consider this bill again probably on Friday, and I'll try to get those questions out as quick as I can. If we can't get those answers, if we can't get the questions and to the people, well, then we'll hold it over until the Monday meeting. All right? Any other questions at this point before we move on? I want to thank everybody for, it looks like a lot of work has gone into not only this, but the other portions of the law that we deal with on estates and estate management. So, and trust. Thank you all for being online. We're going to hold Senate Bill 191 in committee. We'll try to get those questions dispatched as fast as we can. At this point, if we can get some answers back by Friday, we'll bring those back to us on Friday. Does that sound good for the committee?
Yes.
All right. With that, we'll hold this Bill 191 over. Next week, my intention is to have people who are either on commissions or need to be confirmed. We'll start a list of the names, and we'll start going down our question and answers on those who want to be appointed by the governor. All right. Thank you. With that, we'll adjourn this Senate Judiciary Committee at looks like 2, looks like 38.